Up our hearts and hands, let's worship Him. Amen. Pour out your praise and adoration and gratitude and thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we honor you. Lord, we give thanks to you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. What a Savior. What a Savior. Hallelujah. He is alive. And in His words, because He lives, we live also. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scripture this morning to Luke chapter 24, and we didn't coordinate, this is the same reading we had earlier to begin service. It happens to be our focus for the message this morning, Luke chapter 24. As you're turning, once again, so glad to have all of our visitors, and I just want you to note, if you don't have a regular place you call your church home, we would love to have you worship with us during our other weeks and services, and we want to invite you to be a part here of this family of God, this gathering. We will have service tonight. Home folk, there's bulletins with events of this week, and you can avail yourself to them. Now we're going to focus our hearts on the Word of God, Luke chapter 24. Here we stand, just as honor of reading God's Word. Could you stand this morning? We'll read these verses. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, these angels said unto the ladies, why seek ye the living among the dead? I want us to pause there. That's going to be the message this morning. Why seek ye the living among the dead? And then the gospel good news is in the next verse. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He spake to you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. It doesn't end there. The third day, rise again. And they remembered His words. Just so we could look at it one more time, if we go back to verse 5, to the angel's question, why seek ye the living among the dead? I want to seek to minister to our hearts this morning, modifying the question just a little bit. And I want to preach on this morning. Why seek there? Why seek there? Amen. Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit that talks to people's hearts and minds. Your Holy Spirit that with love and truth draws to the Father, Almighty God. Holy Spirit, may we sense your moving throughout this place, speaking to every soul, making real the good news of Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Lord, making real the fact that it's for our salvation, our eternal life. Lord, I pray for that anointing upon the preached word, the anointing upon hearts and minds to hear and to receive. And may before we leave this place, eternal changes are made in people's lives. Lord, move amongst us. May there be a spirit of rejoicing and a spirit of repentance, a spirit of life amongst us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said, amen. You can be seated. There are close to 4 million visitors to Jerusalem every year, and 59% of them visit the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and a big percentage of those actually take a trip into Jesus' tomb. The fact is, people visit tombs. They visit Washington's tomb. They visit Lincoln's tomb. Stalin's tomb, Lenin's tomb, Shakespeare's tomb, Elvis Presley's tomb. People visit tombs. But the reason people visit Jesus' tomb is an anomaly. It's different than visiting every other tomb. When people visit all these other folks' tombs, they go there because that person's body, that person is there. But when they visit Jesus' tomb, they visit it because he is not there. Oh, hallelujah. What a difference that makes. Amen. Most places are hallowed. They're filled with wonder. A place like a church, it's filled, it's charged when it's recognized that Jesus is here. But that morning when those ladies visited that tomb, that place was charged. It was filled with wonder because of the fact of Jesus' absence. He was not there. Look how different that is. You know, we have a song that we've sung for many years. Sometimes in church we'll begin to sing, "He is here, hallelujah. He is here, amen." We're excited, he is here. Oh, but on that morning, amen, they were saying, "He is not here, hallelujah. He is not here, amen." Oh, hallelujah, what a change that Jesus has resurrected. These very first early morning visitors to Jesus' grave, these women should have never, ever expected Jesus to be in that tomb. They never should have expected him to be there. Why? A tomb is a place of death. But Jesus was alive. He's alive. Why look for him in a tomb? He's alive. Why look for him in a grave? He's alive. Why look for him in a cemetery? Amen. They went looking in a place of death for one who was alive. These ladies had wept their eyes out, cried on that crucifixion day as Jesus hung there and died. They had went back and they had spent Saturday preparing spices. And now it's early Sunday morning. The ladies are sitting fully clothed. They've got their little vessels of spices prepared and ready, and oils and whatever it may be. They're sitting in the darkness, looking out the window, waiting for the first signs of daybreak. And when there on the horizon, they see a pinkish orange that heralds the sun's coming. Those ladies gathered up their vessels and they hurried through the darkened streets of Jerusalem with one question on their mind. How are we going to move that stone? We're too weak for that. How are we going to move that stone to get in there and to anoint the body of Jesus and put on the spices upon him? You see, those ladies' faith had wavered. I said their faith had wavered. They came to the tomb fully expecting to find the body of Jesus. And who could blame them? Even who could find fault with them? That's what you expect when you go to a cemetery. That's what you expect when you open up a tomb. You expect to find a dead body. And so they came to that tomb expecting things to be as they normally would be, as they usually would be. Their expectations would have been correct if Jesus were dead. I said their expectations would have been correct if Jesus were dead. Open up the tomb and find a dead body. But there's one little change here that you got to know. Jesus was not dead. He was alive. Hallelujah. And when they got to the tomb, the stone had been rolled away from the entrance by an earthquake causing angel. The stone had been moved not to let Jesus see out, but to let the ladies in to see that Jesus had risen from the dead. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. The stone has been rolled away to forever proclaim a dead body's not here, but a living Lord is amongst us. Hallelujah. When they found Jesus' body was not there, instead, They found angels that frightened them, scared them. The ladies began to bow their heads towards the ground. And at that moment, those angels asked the ladies a question. It's a question of the ages. It's a question that begged answering on that day. But it's a question that begs answering even today. What was the question the angels asked? Why seek ye the living among the dead? Amen. That was a rebuke at these ladies' lack of faith. Jesus had told them he would rise again, but their faith had wavered. And so, yes, that is a rebuke to their faith. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? But that question goes a little further than that. Why would you come to a place of death and expect to find life? Amen. You see, Jesus was life itself. I said Jesus was life itself. And he, in him, was life, and the light was the light of men. Amen. The scripture says, and Jesus says, as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Amen. Jesus said to Martha, just before he called rotting Lazarus out of the grave, Jesus looked at Martha and said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said to his disciples and to us today through them, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Those ladies knew these declarations. Jesus was life himself. Why would you come to a tomb to find life? Hallelujah. You'll never find it there. And so the angel's question is one that unbelievers even today should ponder. It's a question that every young person in the quest of life, amen, should ask and wonder about. It's put very simply this way. Why would you seek for life in a place of death? Why would you seek for life in a place of death? How can you find life where there's only death? I know it's a morbid thought. I know it's an unpleasant thought. But I want you to imagine with me this morning. You go to a cemetery. You open graves. You go from grave to grave. You go from coffin to coffin. I know it's morbid, but bear with me. Amen. You go to coffin to coffin, and you pry open the lid. Amen. You go to a mausoleum, and you open the door of a vault. I want to ask you something. If you were to do that, going grave to grave, vault to vault, prying open the lid, amen, opening the door, would you ever expect that even one time when you pried open the lid of a coffin to find a living person there, would you ever expect it? No, sir, you would not. Every time you pried open a lid or open the door of a vault, you would expect to find but one thing, death, death. I want to tell you this morning, you can't go to a place of death and find life, and yet people by the millions upon millions are doing that every day. They go from place to place of death, expecting to find life. You'll never find life in those places. It's not to be found there. Why do you look for life where there's only death? Observe people in your life. Look at people around you. They spend their existence going from place of death to place to death, looking for life. Real life, abundant life. They never find it. Could I speak an analogy for a moment? The masses of humanity are looking for life in a graveyard. A graveyard's a place of death, but it's not the only place of death. This world is filled with a place of death. I want you to know every nightclub is a place of death. Come on, church. Every bar is a tomb. Every pornographic website is a grave. Every homosexual premarital sexual relationship is a coffin. Every casino is a place of death. Every filthy movie is death. Every venture into the world of magic and witches and Wicca and zombies and vampires is a venture into death. Every darkened bedroom where somebody is contemplating suicide, that is a tomb. Every bottle of alcohol is a grave. Every drug is a vault. Every song that glorifies violence and sex and drugs and rebellion is death, 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 death. Why would you expect to go to a place of death and find life? You'll never find it. Oh, but if you'll come to Jesus just as you are, He who is life, if you come to Him, you will find life and life more abundant. You can leave saying, I've just begun to live. I've just begun to live since God's amazing grace came. Oh, hallelujah. How many remembers when you quit looking in the place of death and you came to the place of life and found the risen Savior? Oh, let's worship Him for a moment. I painted a more morbid picture, but if we could see people spiritually, they are going from tomb to tomb, grave to grave, cemetery to cemetery, looking for life. They go from weed to meth to heroin to fentanyl. They go from regular marijuana to spice. They go from one beer to too many beers to hard whiskey. They go from fornication to adultery to perversion. They go from selfishness to greed to crime. They go from one place of death to another. You say, hold on, preacher. How do you know those places are the places of death? Because the scripture said, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. It cannot be against God's word, God's principle, God's way, God's truth. It cannot be sin and be life. Amen. It is death. How do you know that, preacher? Because the wages of sin is death. Oh, I'm glad it didn't stop there. The wages of sin is death. That's in the place. Oh, but the gift of God is eternal. I said the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. It's so sad, but people have fallen right into Satan's trap and goal. Satan has one plan, one design, one purpose. He's all about death. He wants to kill your mind. He wants to destroy and kill your soul. He wants to kill your marriage. He wants to destroy and kill your family. He wants to destroy emotional life. He wants to destroy spirit. How do you know that? Because he is a thief that has come to steal and to kill. Amen. He's come to destroy and but Jesus has come that we might have life. Oh, what are you trying to say? Could you ever expect to find spiritual life in a place of spiritual death? Oh, but I want to move on with the story. In the Matthew account, the angel said to the women, I know why you're here at this tomb. It seems obvious. But again, in the obvious question, there's such a lesson this morning. In Matthew's account, the angel said to the lady, I know why you're here. You seek Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that profound? Wait a minute. What do you say? How's that profound? Put it back in context. That angel said, I know why you're at this place of death. You're seeking Jesus. You may not want to admit it. You may not recognize it. But I want to tell you, friend, every time you visit one of those places of death, I know why you're there. I know what you're looking for. I know what you're seeking. Did you hear me? Amen. Every time you visit that bar, every time you look into the mouth of that bottle, I want to tell you, well, I want to tell you what you're looking for. Every time you visit that pornographic website, let me tell you what you're looking for. You're seeking for Jesus. You say, I don't understand that. Let me tell you, that desire deep within the heart of every created being, that desire, amen, is a desire for the Creator, Redeemer, God. And nothing in this world can satisfy. Nothing in this world can meet that desire. Nothing in that in this world can feel that need. Amen, because it's a need for Him. Even you're at the place of death. I said you visit the place of death again and again and again. Every time you take those drugs for recreational purposes, you're visiting a place of death. But I can tell you why you're looking there. You're looking there because you seek Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. The angels were right on. You're at the place of death because you seek Jesus. I want to tell you, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only Jesus can fill the emptiness within. Oh, don't look in the place of death. Come to the place of life. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, why don't we just praise Him again? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then the angels made the greatest announcement ever. We know that you seek Jesus. He is not here, but He is risen. I want to read a little bit into what they said, just for some historical purposes. They said He's not here, not because His body had been stolen. They said He's not here, not because the ladies had come to the wrong tomb. They said He's not here, not because the authorities had moved His body elsewhere. They said He is not here because He is risen. Oh, hallelujah. Make no mistake. You may even pick it up on the airways this time of years. Doubters and scoffers and mockers. You may pick these things up. But make no mistake. Jesus had not just fainted, swooned. Jesus had not just appeared to be dead and somehow revived in that tomb. Jesus had not faked His death. Kind of hard to fake when you got a spear stuck up between your ribs into your heart. Jesus had in fact died. He was in the tomb because He was dead. And a tomb is the place of death. Amen. But the angel said, He is not here. They never met. He had not been there. He had. He was a corpse like any other dead person. They never said He has not been here. They said He is now not here. He did die, but as certainly as He died, He rose again. Oh, hallelujah. What are you trying to say, preacher? We got to see what happened to Jesus so we can see what can happen to us. He's dead. He's lying on a cold slab. He's as dead as any person has ever been. Oh, hallelujah. But early Sunday morning, the power of God by the Spirit of God filled that tomb, and the breath of God entered into the body of the Son of God, and life filled. I said life filled, and life burst forth from that tomb. He who had been dead is alive. He's alive. He's alive. Oh, hallelujah. How many believes that happened? Oh, let's praise Him. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If ever life is found in a tomb, in a grave, life came to that grave, not from that grave. Life came to the grave of Jesus. You may be in a nightclub. You may be holding a glass of whiskey. You may be looking at that website. When the Spirit of God comes across your soul, and convinces you that there is a Savior who loves you, and that if you'll repent, you never found that life in that tomb. That life came to you in the tomb you were looking. I remember today, amen, you might have been in a place of death, but life came to you. And so if you find life in a tomb, it didn't come from there, it came to there. But I want to tell you something else. If ever you find life in a tomb, it's not going to stay there very long. Oh, Jesus, the resurrected Lord wasn't even there by the time the lady, he was risen from the dead and he was gone from the tomb. Let me tell you, you might have lived in a tomb for years. You might have been visiting in the cemetery for years in the deadness of sin, the lifelessness of your life in this world. But I want to tell you, when Jesus comes to you, you'll be so full of life, you will want to immediately and as quickly as possible get out of that tomb. Get out of that grave. Get out of that cemetery. I'm telling you, when you come alive, you leave the tomb. Hallelujah. You leave the grave. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. It is worse than just the reality we search for life in the places of death. It is the fact that our heart became a place of death. Our mind became a place of death. Even everything about us was death. Amen. We were, in fact, as unbelievers, we were dead men walking. The world likes to make that a matter of entertainment, but it's no laughing, fun, entertaining thing that without Christ in a life of sin, we are dead people walking. Paul said of a lady who was living promiscuously, he said she is dead while she liveth. What did he mean? She's biologically alive. She's still taking breaths. She's still eating food. She's still waking and sleeping. She's biologically alive, but she's dead while she lives. She is spiritually dead. Her mind is dead. Her heart is dead in her sin. I mean, there are so many folks, it's worse than they're looking in the tomb. The tomb is in them. But I want to tell you something. I said, I want to tell you something. I'm glad I can tell it to you. If your heart is a tomb, if you're looking in places of death, let me tell you, the very same Spirit of God that entered Jesus' tomb 2,000 years ago and brought him alive from the death, I want you to know that same Spirit of God can enter your heart, enter your mind, enter your life, and make you come alive like you've never been alive. Alive by the Spirit of God, alive unto God, alive unto salvation, alive unto eternal life, alive unto joy, alive unto peace. I'm telling you, the very same Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead can raise your inner person to life more abundant. Oh, anybody here believe that can happen this morning? You know, I may not have ever seen you before, nor you, me, but I want you know what's dead in here. He can make you come alive. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You can find life. You can be born again. That's what born again is. Coming alive. Would you come, music? Paul put it this way. Wherefore in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the spirit, the prince of the power of the earth, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times. Did you hear that? When you were in sin, you were dead. You walked in the world. You did things in the world, but those were places of death. But then he said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he hath loved us, hath quickened us. That's the old word for made alive. Has made us alive in Christ. Another place it says, but God gave us his love while we were yet in our sin. In other words, you're still prying lids off coffins. You're still visiting tombs. You're still looking in cemeteries. But even there, in rebellion, even there in sin, God is reaching out to you with his love. And if you let that love get a hold of you, You who are dead in sin, he would make you alive, alive. Oh, hallelujah. You won't have to leave here just saying, he's alive. You can leave here saying, I'm alive. I've just begun to live. Oh, you say, no, wait a minute. I don't know how to do that. I've done some very, very bad things, very rotten things. I mean, I've been so far away from God, I'm not even sure I believe in all of that. How could I be saved? Amen. Tell me, what must I do? What do I got to do? Maybe if I gave a lot of money to the church before I left, or maybe if I went out and did some tremendously good deed, or maybe that would offset. No, 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 no. In the same verses where he said, you were dead in sins, but he's made you alive in Christ. He said, this is not of works, lest any man should boast. If it was at works, of works, you could say, I found it, I did it. But it's not of works, lest any man should boast. But it is the gift of God. Hallelujah. If you, through faith, will believe in his death and resurrection, and that he died for your sins, and he rose again that you might be made right before, if you'll believe that with all of your heart, you can leave here saying, I'm alive, I'm born again, I'm saved, I have eternal life. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for this good news is to be shared? I'm quitting here. Let me tell you a sad reality of life. You might have dealt with it. I've dealt with it several times as a pastor. I want you to imagine with me a woman with an alcoholic husband in an abusive relationship with that narcissistic, controlling spouse of hers. She suffers for years, has her life endangered. She's hurt by him mentally, emotionally, physically. Finally, she gets enough courage and strength and help to get out of that relationship with that abusive alcoholic. Do you know what I've seen many more times than not? Once out of that relationship with that abusive alcoholic husband, she goes looking for another partner. And more times than not, the second one she chooses is just like the first. Alcoholic, abusive, controlling, narcissistic. How many could lift a hand in affirmation? You've seen that. I've seen folks do that, and yet they never give up on the world. They never quit listening to Satan. They go to this tomb, find death and hurt and destruction. Instead of getting their full, they go looking at another tomb, prying open the lid to another coffin. Again, I'm not trying to be morbid, but I want you to think spiritually. That's exactly what people are doing, going from cemetery to cemetery, tomb to tomb, coffin to coffin, trying to pry open the lid and find life. Oh, somewhere down the line, you ought to get it. Amen. We ought to get it. Amen. When I was a young person, I didn't listen to this type of music. I didn't. Still don't. But they played it so incessantly, you had to hear it. But they came out with that song. Some of you could tell me who wrote it, who sang it. Looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love. You can be relieved. I'm not going to sing it to you, but looking for love in too many faces. Listen to that. That might have been written by a reprobate. I don't know. But he captured the condition of the human heart. Looking for love in too many places. I want to change one word, three letters. I want to tell you there are some here this morning, you've been looking for life in all the wrong places. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Let me tell you something in the words of Jesus. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Let me tell you where life is. It's in the Son, Jesus Christ. Could you stand across this building? I want to spend a season, church, if you would. Would you pray over this building that an eternal work would be worked in hearts? Let's pray across this building, would you? Would you pray across this building? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Spirit of God, Spirit of God, Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Many of you, I don't know this morning. I know nothing about your life, your condition. But I want to tell you this morning, please hear me. Let's hold steady across the building. God is intimately acquainted with your life. He knows your uprising and your down sittings, and He is acquainted with all of your ways. And there is not a word in your tongue that He doesn't know altogether. I don't know whether or not you've been going from tomb to tomb of this world, pleasure to pleasure, looking for life and finding death, but He knows it. And I believe He's speaking to you this morning and saying, son, daughter, don't you see you're never finding life in that place of death? But come unto me that you might have life. I've said it many, many, many times. One of the saddest scriptures in the Bible is when Jesus looked at a crowd that was rejecting Him. And He said, you will not come unto me that you might have life. He never said you couldn't come. He never said it was impossible for them to come. He said, you will not come unto me that you might have life. I want to tell you, the Lord knows your heart this morning. He knows what's going on in your head. He knows the emptiness. He knows the death. Amen. He wants to give you life. He wants to give you life. He wants to give you life. How do you have the Son? You believe He died in your place for your sins. He rose again so you could be made right before God. And whosoever shall confess their sins, He's faithful and just to forgive them. Oh, your life of death can be over. Hallelujah. It's a moment of honesty. We use these steps. You may not have noticed, but we use these steps up here at the front of the platform. We use them as an altar bench, as a place to kneel and talk to God. In a word, it's a place where folks come and surrender their life and surrender their past and surrender their sin, surrender to God. And I know it takes a moment of honesty, and you may be new to this place. I want to promise you something. If you answer this question of honesty and come down this aisle to this front and bow here at this altar, immediately there'll be folks of this church to pray with you and to be with you this morning. But here's the question of honesty. You would honestly say, I've been looking for life in places of death, and I'm tired of it. I want the life of Jesus Christ. Are you here this morning? That would be your confession. I want you just simply, amen, you may have to excuse yourself. Someone may be blocking the end of the pew, but just say, please excuse me. If that is you this morning, God's talking to you. What you feel this morning, you may not understand. You may not realize, but that's the eternal God who sent His Son to die for your sins. He's drawing you. He's calling you by name. He's speaking to you. And I promise you, this goes far beyond emotion. This goes to what happens in the core of your innermost person, in your soul, in your heart. Are you here? You just like to be honest and slip out into an aisle and come to this altar saying, I've been looking for life. Come ahead. Come ahead, Wendy. It's so good to see you again. Ladies, would you come and pray? Are there others that would like to come this morning? See, I've been looking for life in places of death. I've been looking for life. And there's others this morning. Would you come? Some of you have known the Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless this man right here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's others. You've been looking for life in places of death. Some of you were raised in church. You ought to have known there's no life out there, but you still went looking in a place of death for life. I want to tell you, you haven't found it. I want to invite you to return wholly to the Lord this morning. Come and surrender your heart and say, forgive me, Jesus. I should have known that you are my life, that I would never find life in that place of death. Are there others? You'd come right now. This is your moment. What you feel, amen, it's not just nerves. It's not being in a weird place. What you feel is the Spirit of God drawing you. Are there others you'd like to come this morning with these that have gathered and say, I've been looking for life in places. Could I tell you something? This is a place of life this morning. Amen. Look up that cross. You may think that's a place of death because Jesus died there, but the place of His death can be the place of your life. Hallelujah. Would you come and kneel at the cross this morning and say, Jesus, I believe you died for me. Are there others you'd like to come and join these? You've been looking for life in places of death. This is your moment. This is your time. Amen. God has brought you here for this occasion. Amen. There's others. Would you like to come? Hallelujah. There's still places available up here on these pews. There's a pew here open and a pew over here. Amen. There's some room in the wings here. Amen. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. You're tired of looking for life in a place of death. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be derogatory. But some of you should have known. You've been told there's nothing but death out there. And you went looking anyway. Let me tell you something. God doesn't upbraid. He's not going to scold you. Just come back to the cross and say, oh, I messed up. I should have never went looking there. I should have known there's nothing but death. He'll take you fully in his arms. Anybody else like to come? Hallelujah. Amen. I want to invite as many believers. I know it's Easter, but I want to invite as many believers come in behind these and help pray. And if as they're coming, if you will make a place, we got places up here on the platform. Amen. If you've been looking for life in places of death, come and kneel your heart to the Lord. Amen. 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 Maybe you can't find room to get up here. You can wave a hand at me or one of these other people of the church. They'll come and pray with you. Amen. Right where you're at. Oh, you need him this morning. I said, oh, you need him this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. These that are praying with these, call out to God. Call out to God. Hallelujah. Call out to God. Amen. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's death out there. Oh, hallelujah.
Could it be I strayed beyond mercy's outstretched hand? Now his grace no longer stoops to hear my cry.
Oh, Jesus, Jesus.
See, I just want to know.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Call on his name.
How far will he go?
Call on his
name. Will he reach to me in spite of where I've been?
Call on his name.
And I told her, oh,
you need Jesus, not too late. There's some spots left. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You need Jesus.
Grace reaches lower than your worst mistake, and his love will run farther than you can run away, my friend.
Thank
He'll
Jesus.
Do whatever.
You that are praying, open up your heart to Jesus. Surrender your life to him.
He'll do whatever.
I'm tired of looking for life in places of death. Oh, I need you, Jesus. You are my life. You are my life. Your life to my mind. Your life to my soul.
Love is patient, and he always hears a prayer. Then he follows you despite the mire.
Holy Spirit, do your work.
The best years in life I've wasted. Why would he really care?
Holy Spirit, do your work.
What I have to give, would he find worthwhile? You see, I just want to know.
Holy Spirit,
tell me how far will he go?
Holy Spirit, do your
will he
breathe.
Reach to me
breathe
in spite
life.
Of who I
breathe
am?
Life.
Oh, let me tell you. Reaches lower than your worst mistake. His love will run farther than you can run away, my friend. He'll do whatever it takes. He'll do whatever it takes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.